Welcome to Follow the Data. I'm your host, Catherine Oliver. Young people entering the workforce today are facing a brand new challenge. Can I find a job that AI can't touch? And what skills will make me irreplaceable? Well, the Bloomberg Arts Internship Program, launched in 2012, connects high school and college students with paid summer internships at arts organizations in seven U.S. cities. The brainchild of Bloomberg Philanthropies board member Walter Isaacson, the Bloomberg Arts Internship Program has supported more than 2,250 internships at over 250 cultural institutions, giving students real-world experience while building skills every career needs, like communication, problem-solving, teamwork, and civic engagement. In this episode of Follow the Data, we'll hear from Kate Levin, who oversees Bloomberg Philanthropy's arts program, and learn about how the Bloomberg program has evolved, the impact it's having on participants, and why these opportunities really matter to young people in our rapidly changing professional landscape. The Bloomberg Arts Internship Program is a really impressive and unique internship. Kate, what drove Bloomberg Philanthropies to create a program that leveraged internship experience at cultural institutions in particular?
I think the key driver was the recognition that arts and culture is a huge industry, specifically in New York, which is our home base, but really throughout the U.S. And our board member, Walter Isaacson, pointed out that there weren't a lot of entry points to this industry, particularly at the formative period of high school. So we designed a program that takes rising public high school seniors and gives them paid summer internships and various other kinds of support, both because of the sense that this industry is so significant and because of the sense that culture actually happens to be a super friendly entree into the workforce.
Mike Bloomberg has a long history of supporting cultural organizations in global cities. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of weaving in that appreciation for arts and culture in cities with creating a workforce training program to position young people for opportunities in their own community?
In some ways, this is a little bit personal. Mike talks often about how his childhood experience at the Boston Museum of Science was really formative in giving him a sense of the excitement of inquiry and the value of curiosity. I think as that's evolved, he's long supported arts education, quality of life that culture brings to cities, and certainly he's a champion of innovative small businesses, and cultural organizations check all those boxes. Then you take a population of young people who often don't have a lot of workforce exposure beyond fast food jobs or other kinds of experiences that may not be particularly professionally challenging. At this point, the Bloomberg Arts Internship has offered over 2,200 paid internships across 250 cultural organizations in seven U.S. cities so that we have a real sense of how generative this experience can be.
You're in cities like Baltimore, Boston, Detroit, New Orleans, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and now I hear plans to expand in 2026. Where are you going next?
We're going to San Francisco and Los Angeles.
And there are 250 cultural organizations. Can you talk a little bit about the types of cultural organizations and what are the interns focusing on? How are they helping these organizations?
So part of what I think works best about this is that we have a population of students who are curious and talented. And in cultural organizations, we have a population of workforce sites that can really use the abilities and the perspective that these students bring. A smart, tech-savvy 16 or 17-year-old can be of real value to particularly a mid-size or maybe smaller cultural organization, not just, for example, in keeping its social media feed up to speed, but learning marketing, working in education, working across the business areas, the back of house of culture. And I think that's what I appreciate so much about Walter's initial insight is that, of course, there's a huge role for people who are performing and displaying in artistic ways. But culture is genuinely a business, and there are all kinds of functions that it can be really meaningful for young people to get a flavor of. The other piece of it, again, is because these organizations can really value the support and skill set, there's a mentorship component of it with the staff at these organizations that is often both personally generative for the staff members who get to have these kinds of interactions, and in terms of the larger organization, can really create a kind of self-reflection and pride in learning through the eyes of a smart young person what the value is of this organization and its mission.
That's the tricky bit, how to be a mentee and how to be a mentor. How does the program address that? Because often interns don't know how to approach the mentor. The mentor doesn't know light touch, heavy touch. How do you do the follow-up? How do you coordinate and balance all of those interests?
So in each of our cities, we work through an intermediary organization. They're different in each city because these practices evolve differently market to market. But the thing they have in common is that they have real expertise working with teenagers and working with arts organizations. So they do the work of helping recruit the students, and they also oversee them on the worksite day to day to make sure that things are going well. But each worksite has to be committed to doing this. The student is paid a stipend, but so is the worksite. So it is upfront a very clear set of roles and relationships. The intern is on site 3 days a week. Day four is spent with college prep, and day five is spent doing activities that help make sure each student understands cultural ecology in their own city. And honestly, in some ways, that's one of the biggest value services the internship provides, because it makes young people understand that culture is a broad-ranging set of industries, not just the place that they may be located. They get to learn from their peers, and they get a sense of citizenship through arts and culture, because these organizations are often located in lots of different places, in some cases the equivalent of downtowns, but in many cases in neighborhoods and areas of the city that a teenager might not travel to. It is broadening in that sense. And so the mentor-menteeship role gets played out both on-site and then through these larger activities.
So it launched in 2012. How has the program evolved through the years? What have you learned? What worked? What didn't work? And how did you pivot?
So the first moment was to see what worked. And the testimonials, particularly from students at graduation ceremonies. And here's a sort of interesting example about the way the program works, is that we realized that not a lot of kids get public speaking experience anymore in public schools. So we started a graduation ceremony for the New York kids. That was our only city initially. And it became clear that just the experience of having to encapsulate in 2 minutes what they had learned was really productive. And it was a good experience of public speaking, but it was also just a good experience for self-presentation and reflective thinking. We then, after a number of years, realized this was successful enough that it was time to see if we could bring it to other cities. And we grew very slowly and deliberately, adding individual cities and testing the model with different intermediary partners. Again, the market is different. Living wage is different in these cities. Transportation challenges are different in the individual cities. But so that was the challenge, was to see what was replicable, what needed to be unique, which cities had enough of a depth of a cultural sector that had employment opportunities, which cities had the ability to bring on the literacy coaching, which is a key platform that we provide in terms of college training. So at every step of the way, in a very Bloomberg Philanthropies way, we have been leaning into understanding what works, adapting to shape both local and then what are the kind of pillars of overall success for the program.
And you've recently made some other changes in that you have expanded the program to include current college students, and previously it was targeted more towards a high school internship program.
That's really a wages of success move, because what we found out of the summer internships that every year a number of sites were asking if they could retain their intern because the young person was doing so well for them. And we just thought, wait a minute, that's really important feedback. So the first thing we did was expand from the summer program to what we call the school year program. And so a certain number of our summer interns every year are offered placements throughout the duration of their senior year. And as we continued to run the program, it became clear some of these students were genuinely interested in pursuing this as a professional track. And that's when 2 years ago, we started piloting the notion of a summer program. And we do it during sophomore summer, because we think it's important to give kids an opportunity to try something different and really figure out if this is a commitment that they want to make. But in other words, when the advantage and the challenge of starting out with people fairly young is you can't expect a vocational commitment, nor should you. And if part of our premise is this is a great introduction to the workforce, but it also becomes clear if you have talent and curiosity and willingness on both sides, the work site and the intern, we could really play an important role in continuing to provide opportunity.
So artificial intelligence is everywhere. Everybody's talking about it, fearful of it, curious, playing with it. It's being integrated into every industry. So what are some of the skills that the Bloomberg Arts interns developed through these cultural organizations that they can apply going forward? And also, I'm sure more often than not, a lot of these young people are just more knowledgeable about AI than perhaps the folks at the cultural organizations. So it's mutually beneficial. But what have you been hearing early feedback on the use of AI this summer internship season?
What we are seeing pretty consistently is that cultural institutions both have and require rigorous business and management practices to survive, but they also survive because they have an individuated voice. And they're associated with a kind of practice, a set of artists that is considered unique. And that balance tracks really interestingly to the emergence of AI. There's these large language models that have a lot of predictive and generative capacity, but you got to ask them the right question. And so for students to be in a position where, again, as you say, they generationally are often quite tech savvy, to be part of small businesses that are grappling with a lot of decision-making change and be in positions, even as interns, where they get some real visibility into the volatile circumstances of staying in business. Whether it's a patron who gets sick at a performance or ticket sales aren't going as well, at whatever level, you're seeing this adaptability. It inculcates a kind of critical thinking that may not be as available in other kinds of early workforce issues. Bottom line, if AI only works if you ask it the right question, anything that can introduce critical thinking skills and persistence around getting the right answer is going to be extremely helpful. It's also the case, as I said, we give writing supports, and that's both helpful in understanding how to access the information in AI, but it's also essential in being a good client for AI. Because at the higher levels, we're constantly hearing about AI hallucinates or it's not logical. And again, you have to have a critical framework to be a good client for these systems. And finally, I would say by giving interns exposure to a whole bunch of different kinds of creative expression, museum, performance, botanical garden, you're giving them a kind of spatial awareness and a kind of cultural literacy that I think is going to be really helpful in mastering, if we can even have that aspiration, AI, which is, again, a massive body of knowledge that is pulled from all different kinds of areas. I think, again, it's the critical thinking piece that is most expansive, but it's also exposing young people to a very broad sector of all kinds of organizations they may not have known existed, just kind of puts you in a meaningful framework to face the challenges, but also the opportunities of AI.
summer's winding down. A lot of these programs are coming to a close and the kids are going back to school, whether it be at the high school or the college level. How do we collect feedback from them? I've been anecdotally talking to some of our interns that were just wrapping up here and saying, how did it go this summer? And they did a presentation. But how do you gather feedback from all of these cultural organizations? And what does that data show you on the impact on the interns' college readiness and how they can take the experiences and parlay them into future experiences that are beneficial to them?
Statistically, the most rock solid data we get is around writing. We've developed a pretty nuanced data collection practice that understands the standards that our students come into the program with in terms of their writing ability. And one of the things that we're proudest of is that 77% of interns improve writing proficiently significantly, and a significant percentage of them who had come into the program writing at a level that would have required remediation in college actually excel to the point where they would no longer require remediation. And we know that having to take remedial courses in college significantly lowers a student's likelihood to get to a degree. Helping a student place out of remedial writing is really significant. That's something that we very specifically and objectively have documented. We also have a number of indicators around questions that we ask students and questions that we ask work sites. And I'm also really pleased that we consistently find students develop greater self-confidence. And what we are hearing, particularly post-pandemic, particularly with the loss of social skills that many students experienced because they were learning at home, the ability to function in a social context, in a demanding social context, is exceptionally meaningful right now. So the evaluations that we see around that are something that we are keenly interested in and look forward to reviewing every year.
What are you hearing about hiring trends and desired skills that are out there in the marketplace right now, whether it be at an art institution or otherwise?
For a number of years now, we've heard a lot about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. I think what we are starting to hear is, in addition, an increasing desire for social and emotional literacy. And what that really means is, can you deal with a client? Can you deal with your peers? Unfortunately, one of the downsides of AI is that there are a lot of coding and technical skills that are very quickly becoming superannuated, and young people looking for those jobs are in some ways now at a disadvantage. Just saw an article that said art history majors have a better first-year earning ratio than some kids that have gone through coding and technical skills programs. So I think what we're hearing in general moves towards the kinds of values of curiosity, responsibility, and resilience that this internship we think is particularly successful at introducing, but also the joys of curiosity about place-specific communities, really being able to decode the value of the place you live and many culturally specific kinds of institutions and practices. You can't teach that in a classroom. So the fact that this internship really promotes those kinds of skills, we believe are meeting the moment of what we hear from employers who, in addition to technical skills, really want the other kinds of intelligence.
So based on all of the insights from this program, what advice do you have for high school and college students as they think about their careers, whether it's going to be a career in the arts or another applicable industry?
I think the arts aren't just about enrichment. Unfortunately, some people say nice, not necessary, but they are an incredibly rigorous, and by the way, long-lived, we're talking millennia, industry that promote and reward curiosity, and then a whole range of thinking and practices about how you take a product and meet a market. And creativity in general is a function a lot of people say that they are interested in, but critical thinking, emotional intelligence, leadership, they're essential across all sectors. So what I would say to students is find a passion, find a way to relate that passion, use this industry and these opportunities to cultivate these kinds of skills, and hopefully develop the confidence in yourself that you can master the specifics, but that you have the ability to meet people who may have a very different set of ideas or a very different set of things they want to talk about. You can meet them with maturity, with openness. You can have something to say and some ways of supporting them.
Any thoughts on feedback that you've gotten from students who have completed the program, memorable experiences or projects that they worked on that they're most proud of?
Every year, there's a group of students who are relatively new to speaking English full time, and they talk particularly powerfully about how working in a cultural setting has given them a sense of confidence and mastery. And so it's always interesting, myself as a former teacher, to appreciate how the context of something you really care about can just cognitively accelerate your ability to master certain kinds of skills that are really hard when you don't care that much. So I think that's also powerful. And then the other kind of feedback we get that I always find particularly moving is from kids who speak to the fundamentals of having a job. I never understood the value of showing up on time. I knew I used to get punished for it. I understand the value of teamwork. I understand how to ask for help in a way that's constructive when I'm given a task. No one ever has assigned me a responsibility and expected me to figure stuff out, as in kids who've either been micromanaged or put on an assembly line. And this is their first opportunity to really figure out their own capacity to problem solve. I think those are really meaningful. The final group is kids who've never really been out and seen their city. For whatever reason, they've been on a pathway from home to school, but that's been pretty limited. And understanding the largeness of the world in which they live in a positive way, understanding the different kinds of things. I remember 2 years ago, we did a particularly successful session with some architects who were designing a new addition to one of our work sites. And a number of students said that they didn't understand that architecture was a practice. They just didn't understand it was a thing that they could pursue. So I think those are the kinds of feedback we get that I find particularly helpful.
So where can our listeners find out more information, whether they be a student looking for an internship or if they're a cultural organization and they'd like to be a part of this?
I think the Bloomberg Philanthropies website under Bloomberg Arts Internship is the best place to start.
Great. I guess we're going to leave it there.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Follow the Data. Bloomberg Philanthropies is committed to preparing students with the skills they need to thrive in any career path and promoting engagement in the cultural sector. Many thanks to Kate Levin for joining us. As always, our guest views are entirely their own, and Bloomberg Philanthropies hasn't independently verified any of the statements made by this episode's guests. This episode was created by Arden Lieb, Minnie Kim, Devin Alessio, and Rebecca Carrero. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe to Follow the Data. You can follow Bloomberg Philanthropies on X, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or head to Bloomberg.org to learn more about how we're harnessing the power of arts and culture to improve communities across the globe. As our founder, Mike Bloomberg, says, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So until next time, keep following the data. I'm Catherine Oliver. Thanks for listening.